This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Sargentsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Rapture.
My sermon this morning is entitled, The Rapture, Beam Me Up. In the 1960s, a brand new science fiction movie on television on the NBC networks came. It was written by a fiction author named Gene Roddenberry, and it takes place in a distant future. The series was so full of innovative, chock-full ideas and new things. I mean, they had a ship called the USS Enterprise. It went faster than a word I think they invented, warp speed. It could travel very, very fast. They had medical teams on board who had advanced diagnosis and curative equipment to treat disease or injuries, while the Enterprise and its crews were armed with innovative, powerful laser weapons. All of this stuff was new at the time. But probably the most interesting to me, and one of the most eye-popping innovations on that ship, was a place called a transporter room. If someone was going to go down to a distant planet, they'd go to the transporter room, and they'd stand on the transporter pad, and the command came, energize, and they were sent down to the planet. You could see their molecular structure just vaporize, and then they would appear in the next planet that they had to go to. To get back to the ship, one would be on the planet and speak into their handheld communicator the words, beam me up. And in a blink of an eye, they would appear back on the ship. That whole concept of transporting did not originate with Gene Roddenberry. Can I tell you where it originated? In this book. Believe it or not, that concept of disappearing in one place and materializing in another place in the blink of an eye comes from your Bible. And so I've titled this message this morning, The Rapture, Beam Me Up. And what follows is not science fiction, it is certain prophecy. Amen? Amen. Even behind your mask, I can hear that was weak. Let's start by finding the word rapture. It's derived from Latin. In the 4th century AD, the scholar Jerome translated the Greek New Testament into Latin, which was the world language at the time. Listen to the words of 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Then, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. When Jerome came to that phrase, caught up, which in Greek is the word harpazo, as you see up here, which means caught up, taken up, he translated it into the Latin because he was translating the Bible, the Greek parts, into Latin. And the word he used was rapetus, or rapido, which means caught up, seized away, transported. The word was eventually brought into English as rapture. Now, if you went scouring your Bible, guess what? You will not find the word rapture. But then again, if you went scouring through your Bible to find the word Trinity, you would not. But then again, if you were to go through your Bible and scour to try to find the word Bible, that's not in there either. But the rapture and the Trinity and the idea that the Bible is many books put together is central and found in and throughout the Bible. The Bible teaches that one day, Corinthians 15:52 describes, in the twinkling of an eye, that's faster than you can blink your eye, millions of believers in Jesus Christ will, whether they are dead or alive, disappear from the earth. Hard to believe? Some people say, well, this never happened, so there's no way that we can know that that's the case. It has happened. Not on a mass scale like we're going to see at some point in the future, but there are at least 6 events of someone being here one moment and disappearing and going elsewhere, mostly heaven, in the next. Not like the 7th rapture, which is going to take place for millions. These are one by ones. So let's take a trip back in Bible history and go where some men have gone before. So I want to share just 4 accounts with you. Number 1, the rapture of Enoch. all the way back in the book of Genesis 5:24. Look at this and get this into your head. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him. So you're walking along with your best buddy, your best friend, your husband, your wife, whatever, and God calls. Boom, gone. He just vaporized. And God took him. And God took him home to heaven. Secondly, the rapture of Elijah. 2 Kings 2, 1 and 11. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, whatever a whirlwind is, could be some kind of a space vehicle. By the way, space travels in the Bible, right here. By the way, flying saucers are in the Bible. The Bible talks about a ring within a ring. Those things are there. It goes on and says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He's caught up into heaven in a chariot of fire, and he wasn't dead. Wow. You know, people think this Bible, some kind of an antiquated book, doesn't have any bearing on our life today. And yet these concepts that are in here are the source of so much science fiction today. And people buy that, but they don't want to buy this. Thirdly, the rapture of Philip. Acts 9:39, and when they were come up, that's the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, when they came up out of the water of baptism, appropriate for today, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This man has just learned what it means to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's just given his life over and signify it by going into the waters of baptism, and he comes out, he's just about finished conversing with Philip, and Philip is gone. Now, they're out in the middle of the desert. There's no mountains involved with this. Where did Philip go? Well, Philip went 20 miles away on earth to a meeting he had to abandon because God called him. And the Holy Spirit took him. In the twinkling of an eye, Philip went from point A to point B 20 miles away. Can I tell you something? One day, when you get to heaven, you will be able to do the same. When your body and your soul come together, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But when your body, you get a new body, that body is going to be able to travel in miles, in light years, in the twinkling of an eye. It's pretty amazing. It's something people would like to do right now because God planted the thought in their head. Number four, the rapture of Paul. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:2-4, quote, he was caught up into paradise. Paul said, it just hit me like this. I don't even remember if it was an in-body experience or an out-of-body experience. All I know is this, that one minute I was here, and the next minute I was standing in front of the Lord, and he was telling me things. I can't even imagine anybody should have heard these things before. Four things. And from those four things, we can glean three lessons about the rapture to come. Number one, the rapture of the church will be a literal event, not a symbolic one. I can't tell you how sad I was when I was on the ministry commission for our denomination and for our district, when I was talking to a young man, very well educated, supposedly a great, great preacher, very eloquent, and he had his MDiv, Master of Divinity. And I was allowed to ask a question as the chair of that committee, ministry committee. And I said to him, tell me what you believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said to me, it's a spiritual resurrection. I paused and I said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you believe that Jesus was not bodily raised from the dead? He said, no, it was a spiritual resurrection. My heart sank. If we don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead bodily, we don't have a grasp of the gospel, because it's in 1 Corinthians 15. It's crystal clear. In order to accept Jesus Christ, you've got to believe that he died on that cross. You've got to believe he was buried 3 days. And you've got to believe he was physically, literally, material, raised from the dead. You believe that? Here was this guy who was going to stand behind a sacred desk like this. And what was he going to teach people on resurrection morning? Well, just leave that out. Secondly, in each of the four raptures, people are physically transported from one place to another. Enoch, Elijah, and Paul went to heaven. But as I said, Philip just went from one what part of the planet to another. You're going to be able to do that. Your body is going to be like that. And thirdly, all the raptures happen suddenly with little warning. Remember, Enoch was there and then he was not. Now, I'm looking out on you trying to memorize what I'm seeing out there. And all of a sudden, one of you disappear. I know all the rest of us are in trouble. Listen to Paul's description of the rapture to come. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that's not the president. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Note Paul's use of the word sleep. It's not sleep, it's something else. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 15, he uses the word sleep three times in connection with the rapture. What is the meaning and the significance of the word sleep? And that word is used as a substitute for the word death. In the Bible, that's how it works. Death in the Bible, always listen carefully. Death in the Bible always means separation, never annihilation. What do I mean by that? Because there are some who teach that the body will be annihilated, won't exist anymore. In other words, at death, people will not cease to exist. You hear that? At death, people will not cease to exist as something, but their spirit will still go on. When a person dies, there is a separation between the physical body and the spirit of that person. When this separation takes place, the Bible says the body is asleep. Now, think about this. You can relate. We can sit here for an hour, and for some of us, this hour may feel like a day, 2 hours, whatever. But when your head hits the pillow and you're out for 6, 7, or 8 hours, what happened in the meantime? It feels like you went to sleep and you woke up and nothing happened in between. That's just a sampling, a taste of what it's going to be like in eternity. Time won't mean anything. When you're asleep, time doesn't mean a thing. So the Bible says that when a believer dies, their body goes into the ground. But as soon as they die, their spirit goes in to be with the Lord. Number one, listen to 2 Corinthians 5:8. And I love the word, the third word in this. We are what? Are we? We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. The body goes into the ground. The spirit goes up with the Lord. Paul calls the separation of body and soul in 1 Corinthians 15:51 a mystery. A major part of that mystery is the resurrection of the dead. Listen to this. It doesn't matter how long the believer was dead. It doesn't matter if they drowned in the ocean. It doesn't matter if they burned in a fire or died of natural causes 2,000 years ago. Paul writes the mystery is how that body will be reconstructed and reunited with their own purified spirit. And the answer is, and you know the answer, with God, nothing is impossible. God can take the DNA, which apparently never perishes, and whether it is so broken down there in the ocean, whether it is turned to ashes there in the house fire, and someone has perished, irrespective of what the condition of that DNA is, God will reconstitute it. Hey, is that possible? Isn't he the one that kneeled in the ground and took the earth itself and the minerals and the elements and the essence of what's in the earth and made a body? That's how, a picture of how he can take from wherever the DNA of that dead person is and reconstruct it and connect it and reunite it. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, after the dead rise, Paul writes, then the living believers will rise next. So we have the sound of a trumpet, the call of the Lord, the dead in Christ, however long they've been there, under whatever circumstance, they rise. And secondly, you and me, who are alive right now, if the trumpet were to sound, we're going up. Now, what does that look like? Well, Matthew 24, verses 40 to 42, give us an unbelievable picture. Listen and watch. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. When will the rapture happen? Well, just as Jesus' word said, you won't know. You won't know when the rapture will occur. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, there gets to be a little confusion among some Bible teachers and some folks who study the Bible. The phrase last days and end times both appear many times in the Old and New Testament. End times is the broader umbrella term, like marketing and sales. Marketing is the broader term. Sales is a component underneath that. Well, the last days and the end times are different. End times is the broad umbrella term. When we read about end times, we're referring to that time when all events, beginning and including the rapture, all the way out through eternity, all of those events that occur in the book of Revelation. End times are what's happening after the church leaves and going forward. But what are last days? In the New Testament, the term last days refers most often to the last days of the church on earth and the church age. It's important to get that. We are living in the last days of the church on earth. Does anybody believe that? Do I hear an amen? Amen. Can you get it through your mask a lot louder? Amen? Amen. We're living through the last days of the church on earth. That's what it means. The rapture can happen at any moment. No more prophecies need to be fulfilled. The most important one was Israel being reborn. But no more prophecies have to be fulfilled. I used to think we were waiting for the temple to be rebuilt. Well, the temple's going to be rebuilt. But not while we're around. Maybe all of the elements will come together. But that's going to take place after the rapture in all likelihood. The rapture can happen in any moment. No more prophecies must be fulfilled before Christ can take the church off the earth. What happens when the church leaves the earth? That's an important question too. End times will begin. When the church leaves, end times will begin. 1 Peter 4:7 calls it the end of all things. End times, the end of the world, found in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, beginning at chapter 4, tells us what happens when the church is gone from planet Earth. Chapters 1 and 2 talk about the church. Chapter 3 talks about the church. And chapter 4, a few verses, and then the church is gone throughout the book. When the church is gone from planet Earth, forgive the expression, all hell will break loose. Do you understand that? Incredible, terrible things are going to happen for 7 years. When do those times begin? When does that 7 years begin? Some people think it's immediately after the rapture. That ain't necessarily so. It could take place years after the church is gone. We don't know the answer to that. But when those 7 years begin, what takes place? And this is a very short overview. A one world system takes hold. Political, it's financial, it's militarily, it's religious, and it's under the control of a one world dictator we know as the Antichrist. There'll be anarchy in the streets. There'll be war among the nations. There'll be famine, pandemics, financial disasters, and out of control technology, persecution. Think about that. The importance of the rapture, and your understanding is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will not be here for that. Amen. Think about that. Question, do you want to be here for that? You won't be here for that. We'll talk about that again in a minute. At the end of those seven horrific years, Jesus returns to earth with the raptured church. And together, we will depose the Antichrist, his henchmen, all the sources of an evil world system, and the father of all evil, Satan, will be locked up. Amen. Jesus says in Revelation 21:5, a wonderful thing. You know what he says? I will make all things new. All things new. God will dwell among us. He shall wipe away all tears. There'll be no more sorrow, it says in Revelation 21. No more pain, no more death. Clean air, clean water, true freedom, and perfect love will prevail and dominate. Not like what we have now. This morning, you've heard what the Bible teaches about the rapture. And the question is this: do you believe it? If Jesus would call for the church to rise up to meet him in the air right now, will you be going? Or will you be left behind? What about your family members? Who in your family will be left behind? Think about it. The choice for whether you remain or go is up to you. God's word is true. The rapture is going to happen, and you should want to be part of it. And my question is, like I asked you before, do you want to? And the only way to assure that you will be called, you will go up when the Lord calls, is to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you want to be sure, you confess your sin, ask him to forgive you of your sin, acknowledge that he is your Lord and Savior. You believe that he died on the cross for your sin. You believe he lived, he dwelt in the grave for 3 days. You believe he rose again. You believe he's the Son of God. And you ask him to help you live this life day by day. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, you will not have to go through the terrible times of 7 years of tribulation. And guess what? If you make Christ your Savior today, when the trumpet sounds, you won't have to ask the Lord to beam you up. Because when you hear that trumpet, you will be almost there already. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father God, we know that this is true. We know we don't have to wait. It's going to happen real soon. Nobody can predict when that is. I may not be here, but I'll be here in spirit. The Spirit will take me home while my body waits in the ground. But Lord, I know one day that a trumpet will sound and you will call up, and what you will say is, come up to me and we will meet you in the air. And your word says, there to be with you forever. We look forward and we're glad. We pray for our family members, Lord, that they might come to know you, those who do not. Help us to be bold enough to speak to our friends and family about Jesus, lest they be left behind when we knew better. And we could have told them, but we were too shy, too quiet, or maybe too filled with doubt. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of the rapture. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.